I invite you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians 2, please.
Let's pray together. Father, you've done so much for us. We've been worshiping you in song and prayer and giving and fellowship in the way that we've spoken with one another. We want to continue to worship you now as we consider what you've written in your word. Draw our attention to you, to your Son. May we see the blessing that is ours in Christ, and may we be a vessel or vessels that demonstrate your perfect plan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, raise your hand if the name Charles Barkley you recognize. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. You recognize the name Charles Barkley. One of his nicknames was the Round Mound of Rebound. What a unique man he is. And he illustrates the absolute opposite of what we want to talk about this morning. Here's a statement from Charles Barkley. You got to believe in yourself. I believe I'm the best-looking guy in the world, and I might be right. That's pretty good. He's so arrogant. He was standing before a judge after throwing a guy out the window in a bar, right? So he's standing in front of the judge, and the judge says, "Your sanctions are community service and a fine. Do you have any regrets?" Here's his response. Now, I'm only saying that this is what I read and confirmed from several sources, that he actually said this. Ready? This is what he said. Yeah, I regret we weren't on a higher floor. Something's desperately wrong with his mentality. We've all met people who are full of themselves. Do they tend to draw us to themselves with those character traits, or do they tend to repel us? People that are full of themselves, for me, I can do this with that. I don't really want any. Thank you. I'm all set. We have quite the opposite. One of the traits that attracts us to the Son of God, Jesus, is that he emptied himself. He emptied himself that we might be full. And this, friend, this is the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus emptied himself so he might fill us and thus accomplish God's plan. This will be our meditation this morning. One passage of Scripture before we read from Philippians chapter 2. It'll be on the screen behind me. Jesus said this to his disciples as they were in the midst of discerning what in the world he was talking about his leaving. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And so Jesus tells them, as he's about to end his earthly ministry and as he's about to head to the cross, "I'm leaving, and it's good for you that I'm leaving. My departure is for your advantage, because instead of having me in a location, I will be everywhere in you in the person of the Holy Spirit." Jesus emptied himself that we might be full. Here in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, a very familiar passage to us, and it really should ring true to us as we celebrate the incarnation, or Jesus being made flesh. In verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." God made himself of no reputation. The one who spoke the world into existence with the breath of his mouth made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, not just any kind of death, even the death of the cross, which was for the Gentiles, what? Foolishness. And to the Jews, what? A stumbling block or a curse? Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus, the Son of God, from all eternity. Jesus, who is perfectly content in every way, at every time, because he is God. Jesus, the author of the ages. Jesus, the wonderful counselor. Jesus, the mighty God. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth and all that in them is. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. As we consider this topic for a few moments, and we do have but a few moments, about 20 minutes we have to consider this. We want to understand that Jesus emptied himself of the free exercise of his own desires. Jesus emptied himself of the free exercise of his own desires. We're familiar with some passages in this regard. Take a look, please, at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you of a couple, and they'll be on the screen behind me. So I don't know if you can look at your Bible and the screen at the same time. If you have one of those funny things where you can look down and up at the same time, I can't do it. But if you can, you'll be able to see both. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, a familiar passage, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." This is Jesus. He's all about the will of another. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So much so that we can see it very clearly. It's not just words from the mouth. Now, we say all kinds of things, and then sometimes, even after we said them, we do something contrary to it. Anyone here guilty of that? I am. I don't like it. I'm not proud of it. I'm not saying that it is a good thing. But sometimes we say something and then something else happens and it's not a happy thing. But when Jesus says something, he not only says it, it's a reality. So much so in the very practical way in his life as he is in the wilderness, having been led there by the Holy Spirit. And he's being tempted by Satan. And he's hungry because he hasn't eaten for 40 days. And Satan puts before him a temptation that was very real. Think about it, friend. You are all powerful. The very elements that Satan is tempting you with are elements that you created with your own breath. And you're starving. Starving. And Satan says, "Make these stones bread." And you can. This is the extent, or an extent, of how much Jesus emptied himself. That while he was starving, he withheld from himself what he could very well have done. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 3. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man,'" of which he now proudly associates himself, "'man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He didn't say this, but he essentially said, this isn't the Father's will. I'm not doing it. I wonder if it was Jesus' own will to have some bread at that moment. I'm going to say I think it was. It's my opinion. I think it was his will to eat bread. He was hungry. And he had the authority, the power to do it. And yet, because he had emptied himself of his own exercise, of his own desires, he said, that's not what God wants from me right now. I'm going to move on. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is our Jesus. But that's only an extent of it. It goes further. In Matthew chapter 26, don't turn there. I want you to go with me. Right here. I want you to leave the upper room. And I want you to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want you to go, and I want you to be alone. And I want you to think of what was going on inside of the God-man, Jesus. As he's by himself, separated by two stages from his disciples and one stage from his three disciples, he's by himself and he's praying, I don't want to bear the sin of the world. I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to fulfill the statement in the Psalms that says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't want this. Is there another way? Remember that? I'll remind you of the exact words that he spoke according to inspired scripture. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Brother, sister in Christ, friend, this is the extent to which Jesus emptied himself. That in the face of the torture of that moment, when everything within him, his emotions, everything in him cried out, don't do this. He went to the right place. And he said, there's got to be another way. Is there another way? Some other way? But you know what? It's not about my will. It's about yours. This is the extent to which he emptied himself. Follow with me to one more passage about this. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Jesus emptied himself of the free exercise of his own desires. Paul wrote about this here in Romans 15. Beginning in verse 1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus emptied himself of his own personal agenda. And friends, the incarnation, Jesus coming as a baby, is the perfect demonstration of this emptying. Because he left the glory of heaven to take upon the form of a servant. We, also are to empty ourselves of our own personal agenda. Because this completes the circuit. It completes the circuit. I want you to think about circuitry. I know everyone likes to think about a good circuit. You've got a wire coming out of a fuse box. I know, that's an old expression. A breaker box. I don't know what you want to call it. Here it comes. And somewhere along the way, there is something severed. And you want to go turn on your lights. You're like, psh, psh, psh. Oh, the light bulb must be out. So you go and get yourself the light bulb. You've got a 20-pack under your sink. You change the light bulb, nothing. Something's wrong with the circuitry. Something's wrong. It can't complete its circuit. It's got to come and go back. It does all this stuff. It's a broken wire, not working. Well, what is the circuit that is completed? Well, I want us to move through this just briefly. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We already discussed the fact that Jesus emptied himself of the free exercise of his own desires. A second concept that we must understand about this is Jesus emptied himself in order to fill the church. He emptied himself in order to fill the church. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 20, please. He's talking about the mighty power of God and how that power benefits us. In verse 20 he says, which power he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, listen carefully, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The idea that he's communicating here is Jesus has been victoriously raised from the dead. He's been placed at the right hand of God. He's above all principalities and powers. He's above the church, but he's also in the church, filling the church, that the church might be the fullness of God, or the demonstration, or the manifestation of God. Well, if that's not enough information, take a look at chapter 3. He says it again. He doesn't say it just in Ephesians 1, where you can say, well, I'm not sure it's exactly saying that. In Ephesians chapter 3, he comes with this concept again, talking about his presence in the believer's life, his presence in the church's life, being God's manifestation or the fullness of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, please, we read this in our responsive reading. That Christ may dwell, the word there is to dwell down deep in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and a height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Think about what is being said. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church, that Christ would dwell deep in them. And in the depths of his dwelling in them, they would be able to comprehend the vastness of God's love. How wide it is, and how deep it is, and how long it is, and how high it is. And in the context of that, that we might be filled with every ounce of the fullness of God. Oh, well, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. His prayer is that the circuit would be completed, that Christ would put himself off,
that we would learn to put ourselves off, that instead of us being the manifestation of ourselves, that we might be representative of another. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas. Go with the message of the fullness of Christ, that he is our life, and without him we have nothing. That he has come to give life and to give it more abundantly. That in him is light. And he was, in fact, the light of men. He's everything. He's everything. He emptied himself that we might be full. The Bible says in Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, Jesus emptied himself of the free exercise of his own desires. He did this, he emptied himself that he might fill the church. Thirdly and finally, Jesus fills the church to be the light, a light to the world, or to be the light of the world, depending on how you want to phrase it. You can make your own point. You have liberty and listener's discretion. You can either take this as Jesus fills the church to be a light to the world, or Jesus fills the church to be the light of the world. Because through Christ, we are in fact the light of the world. A city that's hidden or on a hill is not ashamed. This is us. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4, and we can't get into the depths of the glory of this passage. We're just going to look at it just for a moment to consider the implication of what's said in Ephesians chapter 4. Related to Jesus emptying himself that we might be full. In Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 7, Paul is telling the church in Ephesus about the blessing that is theirs through Christ, what Christ has done and what he has given so that we might be able to nourish ourselves and be a light to the world. It says in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. Listen carefully. Will you read out loud the last phrase of verse 10? That he might fill all things. That he might fill all things. So we have a broadening of this principle. From Jesus coming and sitting on the right hand of the Father, being over the angelic host, whether they be good angels or bad angels, angels or demons, fallen angels or elect angels, however you want to phrase it, to the fact that he's over the church, then he's dwelling in the church, and then the reason he dwells in the church is so that he might fill all things. In what way, might you ask? Well, there's a reference here to an Old Testament prophecy from the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23, it'll be on the screen behind me. Listen to what God says, and we're going to read it from the ESV. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? You know what's interesting? Here in Ephesians 4, the implication is, as God takes residence in the church and the church is spread across the globe, not only is God omnipresent everywhere from a theological perspective, he is omnipresent from a very visible perspective in his people, the church. This is why he came. He emptied himself that we might be filled with him and a light to lighten the Gentiles. Because you know what? They dwell in deep, sad, utter darkness. And he's come to give them light. And he's going to do that. He can do that through his church. This is the glory. This is the glory of Christmas. You know, we can either be filled with ourselves and our own agenda. You know what that results in? It results in justifying the world's criticism of us. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. Be filled with your own agenda, you'll be a hypocrite just like they accuse. It can either be that, or, friends, we can empty of ourselves of our own agenda. We can empty ourselves of our own agenda. We can be filled with the glory of Christ and be a beacon of light to those who dwell in great darkness. This choice is made moment by moment every day. It's not made on Sunday morning. It's not even made on Wednesday night. You know, the really spiritual people on Wednesday night. It's made moment by moment. It's made in the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's made in their absence. It's made in your car as you drive down the street. It's made in your house when you're frustrated with fill in the blank. It's made in the workplace when your boss is mistreating you or he's giving you favor. It's made moment by moment every day. Am I emptied of myself or am I filled with myself? Is it my agenda or someone else's agenda? This is a choice we make every day. Jesus came and emptied himself so we might be filled with his glory. There is nothing like this. I could never write this script. Could you? Could you ever think of God saying, I'm gonna lower myself so that that guy can be filled with my glory. Or that guy will be filled with my glory. Or that girl will be filled with my glory. This is just not a plan we would make. But it's the glory of the gospel. And it's the glory of Christmas. And so I charge you and myself. Remember that Christmas is about Jesus humbling himself, emptying himself of pursuing his own desires, so that I might be filled with him and thus a light to lighten the Gentiles. Let us go with a message of Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Let's do that. Let's pray together. Father, you are awesome. We cannot conceive of all the blessings that are ours through Jesus. Help us to be in humble adoration of him. But help us also to be in sweet yet bold declaration of him. Let us leave here, Father, with the message that Jesus humbled himself that we might have life. I pray, Father, for anyone in this room that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, and so they don't know the fullness. They don't know your fullness in their lives. They may have seen your fullness, but they have not experienced it in their lives. And I pray, Father, that even this day, they would respond to what Jesus has done in emptying himself, not just of his own prerogative, but even to the point of dying on the cross. Even to the point of becoming sin for us, to the place of yielding himself as a sacrifice in their place, that their sins would be forever removed, that they might be credited forever with his righteousness. We ask, Father, for anyone here that's never trusted Christ, that today they would realize they can have his fullness even now. We also pray, Father, for any Christian in this room that may be struggling, battling their own agenda, battling their own will. Help us
that we would seek the most excellent choice. That we would not be comfortable with our own will, but only comfortable and comforted by yours. And as a result of this, we ask that we would be a resounding beacon of the gospel, corporately and individually, for your glory's sake. Please, in Jesus' name, amen.